seated. As I get this set up, we're going to be in the book of Luke. This is for someone pastor's height. You can see. It's like I always have about 3 foot extra. We're going to be in the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 18. And we're looking at another parable of the Lord Jesus. And I love the parables. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 8 that he was, in talking to his disciples, he said, it's for you to understand the parables. It's not, the world isn't going to understand them. They're not going to see the picture. He said, I talk to them in parables because they have eyes, but they don't see, and so on. But he would explain them to his disciples. And I'm glad he did, because some of them leave you wondering, but they make perfect sense as Jesus begins to explain them. And so we're just going to look at this parable of Luke chapter 18. And I want to, instead of reading the whole text, I'm just going to read it as I go along in the message. So we'll just read what's pertinent to the thought at hand. But the thought tonight is in the first verse. Let's look at it together. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus quite plainly gives us the purpose of the parable, this story he's going to tell us. A parable is a truth that's using a life scenario we can very easily grasp to teach us a spiritual lesson, something that we're familiar with as listeners. So he's going to use an illustration here that we can connect with, and he's going to teach us a spiritual lesson that, here it is, we should pray and not faint. I don't think any of us, if we've been praying for long, let me rephrase that. If we have been praying for long, we come to those prayers that we see maybe the everyday guidance of God. We see answers, the immediate kind of answers in life. But there's also prayers that maybe we've been praying for quite a while that we haven't seen answered yet. And I believe the Lord addresses those. And I'm just really focusing on this one aspect that we should pray and not faint, persistency in prayer. There's other aspects of prayer also that we come with the right heart, the right motives, the right purpose. But we're assuming tonight that we do have those things in line. So let's look together at this parable that we ought to pray and not to faint. First of all, the giver of the parable is the Lord Jesus, he says, and he gave this parable to them. He knows our hearts. He knows where we are in our lives. He knew where the disciples were, and he says to them, this audience that was listening, whoever it was, he knew they needed this. He knew that we'd need it. And like Pastor says, none of it's just filler. It's all in there for a purpose and for a reason. And God, maybe some of us tonight, we've been praying for some things, but maybe they just kind of slipped through the cracks as we didn't see them fulfilled on our timeline, or maybe when we asked or when we thought they should be done. So we kind of lost that steam. We knew God could do it, but we just lost the vision that he really would, and maybe thought he didn't care. And so they just kind of slipped through the cracks, and maybe we're not praying as specifically as we ought to get specific answers. But the Lord, nevertheless, gives this parable to us. He knows our needs, and he gives it to us for a purpose, to this end. And the Lord always has a purpose that he wants to fulfill in our lives. And he says, he gives us that the end is that we should pray and not faint. So he wants to accomplish a purpose that will be continual and ceaseless in our prayers to God in faith, constantly exercising that, to make a habit of praying here. And then let's go on. He says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we're looking at kind of this overview of what Jesus is going to teach us. He says that we should pray and not faint. He says that men. I like that because he doesn't say just those listening, but to the generations after. They can pray and not faint. They can receive a blessing from God. Just the other evening, we were at a party, and it makes me laugh because they were talking about, I would use them for illustrations. But we were sitting around the table, and we were just talking about revivals. Someone said revivals come every 25 to 30 years and so on. But we were noting the connection of prayer with revivals coming and so on. That being said, God's no respecter of persons. Amen. And what he's done in the past, he can do today. And so he says men. Peter, in the book of Acts here of chapter 10, when he goes to Cornelius, he says this, but in every nation, he that feareth him God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. And the verse before he says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Amen. Amen.
God certainly has those who are men after his own heart and so forth, but as a child of God, you have the same access to the throne.
Amen.
You have the same Heavenly Father that all the greats that we look through history had. And it's our privilege to pray as well. And I see real visible answers. So men ought to pray. I heard the story of Dwight L. Moody one time. He went to England and he was a preacher in the 1800s. And he saw a lot of success. God really began to work through his ministry. But he visited this church in England. He was asked to preach and he decided to do that. So he preached in the Sunday morning service. And he said it was just as cold, as hard, as stiff. It was like preaching to a rock. And he gets invited, the pastor asks him, hey, will you preach again in the evening? He really didn't want to. He just saw it as, you know, it was going to be a quite laborious ordeal there and have to preach again. But he goes ahead and does it. And it was a 180 degree difference. It was like total night and day. As he gave the invitation, he remembered just even the people sitting on the edge of their seats as he was talking, riveted on what he was saying. It wasn't some eloquent preacher. He was a down-to-earth guy. But such a difference had come upon the crowd. And he calls that as he gave the invitation, he said, everyone who would like to receive Christ as their Savior, go ahead and stand. And he thought people had misunderstood for how many had stood. He was surprised. He said, okay, sit down. He asked it again in another way. Whoever wants to be saved, go ahead and stand. Again, there was a total number. He thinks there must be something wrong. These people, they heard me this morning, and it was like a rock. He says, if you would like to be saved, just come to this back room. And me and the pastor will talk with you. After the service, almost, so many people, compared to how many were there at the church, it was dozens and dozens of people went back to the back room. They wanted to know how to be saved. And so as he's spending this time in England, he somehow finds out upon visiting a lady, in her diary was recorded some special prayers for him that corresponded to that very time, that she was actually a member of that church, but was out sick in a hospital or at her home. The story kind of differs. But she had been praying for years when she had first heard of Moody that he would be able to come to England and just preach in the church. And that day, as she learned that he was there, she refused her meal and just fasted and prayed and just pled with God to do something great. And that was in that time between that morning service and that evening service. And even as an invalid, she couldn't do a lot, but she saw God work in that church in such a powerful way. In just a matter of weeks, there was over 400 baptisms as people were saved and added to the church there. Jesus says men ought always to pray. She's prayed for quite some time. But he says, don't faint. God's no respecter of persons today. And he hears, as long as we go through Christ, he hears us. That men ought always to pray. It's our duty. We ought to do it. And God really rests so much of his work on our prayers. As he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. He calls them, but he has put in our job there is to pray that he would do it. And maybe there's not more missionaries being sent and pastors called and faithful church people because we're just not praying, giving up. May God grant that we pray. We ought always to pray and not to faint. We ought to pray because of what it accomplishes, what God's going to do through our prayers. We just need that faith in God to pray. Real, sincere, fervent, inspired prayers. May God give us that. And it says not to faint. We all have those situations in life where we've been tired. I think of Brother Joe. Like, if anybody has a hard work week, it's Brother Joe with the hours he works. He comes in tired. And many of us, different situations in our life, we've just been physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired even sometimes. But he says, pray, don't faint, don't quit. With that being said, let's look at the next couple of verses. So this is kind of like the preview. We see the aspects of the parable, the purpose of it. But let's look at the story here. Jesus is going to give us in a couple words. Verse number 2, Luke 18. He says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. There's a lot that's not covered here. It leaves me with some questions. But it does bring out Jesus' point nicely that we should pray and not faint. That's the point. And so we see several characters here. First is the judge. He reminds me of someone maybe I've seen on a movie or read about in books, just a very austere, I'm thinking of that man Scrooge, or just a very hard character. He said he did not regard man. He didn't fear God. He was not made to eat his vegetables when he was younger. He didn't do anything he really didn't like. I don't know how he got to power here, but somebody regarded him to put him there, I guess. But he didn't care for others very much. And he certainly wasn't a God-fearing man. And then this widow, we're not told if she's a Christian or not. She's just a widow. And we are told how she got that way. Her husband died. But there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. She had a problem. And it's often that our problems drive us to the Lord in prayer. It says, avenge me of mine adversary. This lady, I don't know how, in today's culture, today's law system, a judge is elected to fulfill a certain office, but he's to fulfill a moral code or the laws, the Constitution, whatever legal thing was binding this judge, I don't know. I don't know if he had sworn to uphold anything. He didn't seem to care a lot for men or other people. But God, as we come to God, we're coming, he's sworn to uphold his word.
Amen.
And that's the basis by which we come to God on his promises, his very own word that he's sworn to uphold. So keep that in mind as well. But she comes to one who can help. That's a good place. She comes persistently. You see, it says he would not for a while. I don't know how long a while is. A day, several days, a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years. We're not told, but it was a while. And she came so often that it really began to wear on this guy's nerves. He was going to have a nervous wreck or take care of this woman. So for somewhat selfish reasons, it looks like he took care of the situation. But needless to say, these are the characters the Lord uses in our story. The lady comes to the judge persistently and receives a request from an unwilling, selfish judge just because of her persistency.
Right.
And Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now he's... Look with me at verse number 6 as the Lord makes application to this story. It's interesting. Neither of these people seem to be religious at all. But we can learn a lot from them. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I notice here that God is giving us some reasons why tonight we can pray and not faint. How we can prevail in prayer and as a prince have power with God. Three observations here. The first, God is far greater than any earthly judge.
Amen.
Did you notice? To me it seems like a contrast. As he says, hear what the unjust judge saith. Take note of this. His actions. Take note of how he's handling this. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He puts the character of God in contrast to this judge's, to ours at times. And as this character is contrasted, we see the judge is really selfish. But God is love. And he portrays himself as a father. If you go back to the 11th chapter of Luke, God says this about prayer. He says this, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Luke 11:11. Or if he ask fish, will he give a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. God's a loving heavenly father. He's wise. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So God's character is contrasted to what this judge. Now, the judge did give her what she wanted. And we ought to be specific in our prayers when we come to God. Because general prayers get general answers, and you may never see these answers. Right. But as we're specific, that takes faith. It's easy to believe God will do something somewhere, somehow, sometime. But that faith that comes to God, believing He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we come to God with this faith in His character. He's far better than any earthly judge. He's given us His word. He's sworn to uphold. And you see, this woman, she comes again and again. She kind of wearied this judge, got on his last nerve. But, you know, sin wearies God, but not our prayers. God is not wearied by our continual coming. As, remember, we've taken for granted that we are right in this. And Jesus puts that in this. He brings out this example in our prayer life and says, this too is important in your prayer life. As much as it is to pray right and all these things, sometimes you have to keep praying. Don't doubt the character of God. Don't see God as an unwilling one to answer your prayers if you are praying in the will of God. But rather, He's quite willing to answer them as we ask His will. It says, He shall avenge His own elect. He cares for His own. He's a loving heavenly Father. And we see His concern on our behalf. He knows what's going on. And the Bible says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? So God's character is in contrast to this judges here in the story. Secondly, not only is God's character, God is far better than this earthly judge, but we are far dearer than this unknown widow. Now, I'm not saying she was not a special lady and so on. I believe this is a made-up character story by the Lord as a parable. But He says in verse number 7, and shall not God avenge His own elect? You see, beloved, in Christ Jesus, we have come to God in His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. We have put on Christ. We have access into the holiness, holies of holies, by Jesus Christ. Amen. We're no longer that outcast separated by sin, but we are coming in the righteousness, the merit, the favor, the acceptance that God gives His own Son is now bestowed upon us. The scepter is held out to us through Christ and what He did. We wear those priestly garments, those priestly robes, and it is our privilege to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and mercy in the time that we need it. So we have full access and audience before the throne. We ought not to cease praying. You know that's why we should continue to pray and not to faint. Though he bears long, though our timeline isn't seeming to work out, keep praying. Jesus says, don't faint. I love it that Jesus is God. So he's saying, keep praying. I will answer. I understand. Amen. Keep praying. His delay is not disinterest, but rather the deepening of our faith. The deepening of our walk with God is we begin to sincerely define, maybe refine the motive, you know, brings us, hone that prayer as a specific prayer, but keep praying. Keep praying. That's what God says, to pray and not to faint. He tests the sincerity of our faith, and our faith grows. Honestly, I don't know why God delays in answering some prayers and not sending answering others almost, you know, a week or a day or that same day, whatever it be. I think of Hannah that just prayed for that son and prayed for that son. How many other women in Israel had no problem having a child, but she couldn't have a child. But she prayed and prayed and prayed, but God heard her prayer. She didn't give up. And God said, through the man of God, whatever you're asking, let it be done. So we are far dearer to God than this widow. And I wish I could make this more plain to us that if we really saw what God, if we understood our privileges in prayer and the very dearness that we have so that we could call God Father and come into His presence as a little child, you couldn't stop us from praying. Yeah. We would pray constantly. Something like Paul said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. I know the power of God. I know that God's more willing to answer than we are to pray. You see, God has entrusted us with His will here. He understands that's how we're going to get it done. We're stewards of His work. And He's sent the Holy Spirit here to guide us, to walk with us, and all that we have need of. He says, I will supply all your need. Just, you know, call on me, whatever you need. You know, I'll put you in trust with these things. I will supply it. You know, when you think about it that way, it's a constant relationship of asking and receiving. We are far dearer to God than this unknown widow. We are His elect. Number three. This comes from verse number 8. He says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Notice the last comment of the Lord. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Our Lord closes with this thought that, to me, as I see this, it's a question almost of, He knows the answer, but it portrays that there probably will be a lack of faith on the earth. It seems to me that our Lord is saying here, there will be fewer Christians who will prevail in prayer. Number three, few believers will prevail in prayer. Are you prevailing in prayer? What are the things you're asking for daily as this persistent widow? Maybe we had the things in the past that we've seen answers to, but what are we asking for now? Who's on our prayer list to be saved that isn't yet saved? Who are we praying for God's working here, even though we haven't seen it? Or have we just kind of fainted? And maybe we're still praying, but some things have fallen through the cracks, so to speak, that we've kind of given up on God answering those, and questions weigh us down. We don't understand why the answer isn't coming. Jesus says to you tonight, pray, don't faint. Few believers will prevail in prayer. This same woman, now think about it, the same exact scenario. What if she had come but once? Right? If she had just come to the judge once, I don't think this parable would be in the Bible, humanly speaking. What about just twice? What about three times? Maybe there's someone we're witnessing to. By the way, it's not quite in the way of prayer, but we should be praying for them as well, but may have to go more than once to try to win someone to Christ, for God to work in their heart. But, you know, we're praying that God would work in someone's heart, bring them to Christ. We're going to have to keep praying, and don't faint, because God will do it. So, have you no answer? Persist, not desist. A lack of an answer isn't always a sign to stop praying, but it may be a sign to keep praying. Be earnest. Be fervent. Rest in the character of God, that He's far dearer than any earthly judge. We are far dearer to Him than this unknown widow. But challenge ourselves. Am I prevailing in prayer to God? What's my prayer life like? A big takeaway I see is just because we're not receiving answers, yes, check out your prayers in your life, but it doesn't always mean that we've sinned or that God's not hearing us. It may mean we just need to keep praying. You see, and the devil wants to say, no, you're not going to be heard. You know, there's something in your life. You can't prevail in prayer. That's not for you. It is, if you will. So, vengeance constrain this woman to ask. She says, you know, avenge me of mine adversary. And then the judge, it seems like maybe his own selfish motives or constraint, he's kind of constrained by his own agenda. That constrains him. But Paul says, the love of God constrains us. And that's what ought to constrain us to prevail in prayer. God's love in our hearts. I'm reminded of Jabez. May we be a Jabez in the Old Testament. it says he prayed and received the blessing. He was more honorable than all his brethren. He rose above his brethren that he received a blessing from God when many others right around him didn't receive it because of his prayer. Or Elijah, as he continues to pray, he puts his, you know, his face in his lap and he's just pleading to God for rain. At his prayer, at the his word, the heavens have been shut up and no rain. But at his prayer, he just sees that little cloud a long ways away. And he keeps sending a servant to go see, is the rain coming? Is the rain coming? And he prevailed in prayer with God. Or Jacob that wrestles with an angel or with God himself, the angel of the Lord, till daybreak. As he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That picture of prevailing in prayer. Where, or Daniel, you know, the prince of Persia himself withstanding our prayers, but keep praying. It was 21 days before the answer came, but he continued in faith to God. Have we given up way too easily? Have we stopped praying because we just didn't really care, or maybe we lost sight of God's character or our relationship with him? Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth? Will he find faith in us? Someone has said this about persistence. They say the secret of every successful person is perseverance. Maybe something to be said with that. He says, where faith is most tried at the beginning, it is most rewarded at the end. History is full of examples of people who persevered. I think of the example of Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival through history's, you know, in that time in history, he prayed for 11 years. He had a deep walk with God as God took him deeper during those years to spending just hours with God in prayer and Bible study. And he knew God was going to send revival, but it was 11 years before he saw that first moving of God. And it came suddenly. When God just poured out his spirit in the working in the hearts of men, thousands were saved. Men ought always to pray. He says, I'll avenge them speedily. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I challenge you with these words of the Lord. They're hundreds of years old, but they're just as real today as that's all we need. And so maybe in our prayer life, this is what we need tonight. Just something that you were wondering about, just keep praying. Keep trusting the Lord to do it. Keep trusting the Lord to save that one you're praying for and let God do it, because he's the judge of all the earth. He'll do right. All right. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for just the teachings of it, that it's every time we look at it, we learn something new. We're helped in another way. And I pray that you would inspire us with faith in you to keep praying and not to faint. Maybe we had to start praying for some things, but help us not to faint when we don't see those answers in our timelines. And we just commit this invitation to you in Jesus' name. Amen.